You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears. I'm your host, Lauren Cox, and today we're going to be locked on Kyle Fuller. You know, the Bears are officially able to use the franchise tag as of Tuesday, February 20th, which is the day this podcast is coming out. So, you know, there's a chance when you're listening to this, maybe the Bears will have already made a franchise tag decision, but we're going to go into this and take a look at how the Bears might want to use it. You know, they have the next 3 weeks here to decide if, you know, Kyle Fuller is worthy of that franchise tag, and that's really what we're going to explore today. Keep up with the latest franchise tag news, not only on this podcast, but also on bearswire.com, where I write. And of course, I'm always talking Bears on Twitter, at CoxSports1. Now, Kyle Fuller is pretty much the only Bears candidate for the franchise tag, but don't completely rule out Pat O'Donnell, the punter. You know, special teams franchise tags used to be all the rage. Like, a few years ago, I think there was like four or five all franchise tagged in one offseason. It's a relatively inexpensive franchise tag. And when you have a young punter, a player that you've developed and seem to be pretty fond of, and you don't want him to hit the open market and potentially be courted, it's not out of the question that the Bears could franchise tag him and, you know, not let the young punter escape. But in all likelihood, right now, Ryan Pace and Vic Fangio and the rest of the Bears front office and staff, they've been debating on what exactly to do with Kyle Fuller. You know, what is the market going to look like? What are the other free agents going to look like? What kind of money could he get? How do they feel about how Kyle Fuller's tenure in Chicago has gone? Because Fuller's really one of the many roller coaster type players from this last John Fox era. And so I think we should start here by going through what was a bit of a tumultuous last couple of years for Kyle Fuller, and then we can kind of get up to date on where we are today. Let's go back to training camp in 2016, year two of John Fox, year three of Kyle Fuller. You know, he comes into training camp presumably as the starting cornerback across from Tracy Porter, and all of a sudden, one day, he kind of, he practiced a little bit and then came out of practice and then was done practicing, and then all of a sudden, you know, Ryan Pace kind of came out and said, you know, he had a little bit of a nagging knee injury, and the Bears needed to reevaluate where he was at.
You know, so he's kind of had this nagging injury that, you know, we thought maybe you could play with. But as time went on, you could tell it was affecting his movement skills. So for us last week, it was like, all right, guys, let's press pause. Let's take another look at this and make sure we're exploring all our options. And that's what we've done. So he's getting evaluated over the last couple of days. And I'm optimistic that's something we can get a hold of, make him a better player.
That, of course, was Bears general manager Ryan Pace, courtesy of the formerly known as Intentional Grounding podcast with Adam Hogue and Adam Johns, now called Hogue and Johns. All credit to them for that interview with Ryan Pace. But the Bears reevaluated, quote-unquote, Kyle Fuller's knee injury, this sort of mysterious thing that popped up that apparently he had been dealing with that they chose not to take care of earlier in the offseason. They reevaluate and determine that Kyle Fuller needs arthroscopic knee surgery. The Bears go in there, supposedly clean it up in that August of 2016, but he was supposed to be back at some point early in the regular season. I want to say they talked about potentially a six-week window, although I don't think the Bears officially said any type of timetable, but that was sort of the rumors being put out that, you know, maybe 6 weeks would be week one, two, three, four of the season, try and get him back. Either way, the Bears get to the start of the year and place Kyle Fuller on injured reserve and eventually make him designated to return. And so I think however many weeks in the season that was, eight or 12 weeks into the year, the Bears allow Kyle Fuller to return. They bring him back to practice while still on injured reserve. That's sort of the way that the new injured reserve works, is that the guy has like a 3-week window to practice with the team to be totally taken off of injured reserve. And if he doesn't come off of injured reserve during that window of practice, then he's put back on injured reserve for the rest of the year, and he loses that designation to return. And so right around that week 12 timeline, you know, in late November, early December, that type of range, the Bears put Kyle Fuller back in practice, and he was still on injured reserve, but working with the team and trying to get back to where he needed to be to get on the field.
No, I mean, I would if it got to that stage, but, you know, anytime a guy's hurt, you know, there's three stages to getting back to the field. One is you got to get medical clearance. Two, the player's got to say he's ready to go and feels confident and he's chomping at the bit to go play. And then the coaches get involved to see if he's better than what the other choices are and if he really is back to being able to play. You know, A has happened, B hasn't, so C is a non-issue.
Defensive coordinator Vic Fangio caused a little bit of a stir with those comments in December of 2016, really calling into question Kyle Fuller's mentality and his desire to get back and play. I mean, he implied there that, and it was later revealed for sure, that Kyle Fuller at that time was medically cleared to return to the field and practice and all that good stuff, but the Bears weren't seeing enough from him in these returns to practice to get the player that they wanted to out of him. And so for one reason or another, a little bit unknown to the outside world, the Chicago Bears put Kyle Fuller back on injured reserve and ended his 2016 season before it began.
We're going to go ahead and revert Kyle Fuller back to the IR list. It's not officially done until 3 o'clock, but we've had an opportunity to talk to the player and evaluating where he was or is right now as compared to the players that we have out there. Didn't feel it was the best move for us.
And in retrospect, would Kevin White have been a better candidate for designated to return?
No, he really wasn't ever in the mix. You know, he's not even cleared medically at this point.
Any of the IR guys would any of them?
No. No, he was really the only one that physically, medically, could actually attempt to come back.
John Fox confirmed that Fuller was both physically and medically ready to come back, but clearly there was something else not being said. And between his comments and Fangio's comments, there was a lot of reading in between the lines. But one way or another, Kyle Fuller didn't play in 2016. The coaching staff was evidently not thrilled with how that went down. Again, sort of unknown to the outside world, but it kind of put that 2017 offseason a bit up in the air for Fuller. You know, there were some rumors that the Bears were going to put him on the trade block. I think the Chicago Tribune talked about trying to get a mid to late round pick for him as a potential value for Kyle Fuller in that offseason if the Bears wanted to trade him. You know, the Bears in that offseason declined to accept his fifth-year option for 2018, which is why he'll now be a free agent and have the potential franchise tag looming over him. But that kind of led to a little bit of a quiet offseason for him. Even though rumors kind of swirled, there wasn't really a lot we heard from Kyle Fuller, you know, after the draft. You know, he was working his way back, seemed to be ready for OTAs and offseason workouts, and came into training camp with his head down, keeping his nose to the grindstone, even though the Bears had signed Prince Amukamara, they had signed Marcus Cooper, they seemed like they were getting ready to move on from Kyle Fuller. Again, rumors swirled that the Bears could trade him in the preseason just to try and get something for him, but he kept working. And Prince Amukamara and Marcus Cooper had some injuries, and all of a sudden, Kyle Fuller found his way back into the starting lineup, working in rotation with a few of them, and ends up starting all 16 games this past year. I mean, it seemed like not only on the field the growth was evident, but from what we heard from the Bears coaches all year, the off-the-field growth was too, potentially on the mental side.
Like a year ago, we were talking about measuring desire when it came to Kyle Fuller and dealing with his injury. And to put together the season he did this year, what does that say about him? What have you learned about him through that?
Well, I think he's come back with more purpose. He's been very mature the whole year with his work ethic and habits. And, you know, I think he had a mindset to go out and play better than he had in 15, because you can't compare it to 16. And I think he's achieved that. You know, I just think he's been a better frame of mind, more competitive, and more, I think his football is, he knows what he wants and he's got it narrowed down. I mean, you always, you want to keep as many of your own guys as you can because there's carryover, but that isn't always possible. So, you know, that's between Kyle and the management.
The one-on-one time you spent with him in the offseason, how much did that kind of lay the foundation for maybe his resurgence this year?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him. I know he didn't enjoy getting beat in golf, but I only bring that up because he said it publicly first. So
it was revealed during that 2017 season that the offseason prior, the summer of 2017, Fangio and Fuller spent some quality time together. They went golfing. Apparently Vic Fangio beat him, but was impressed by the two of them. They both are apparently big into golf, and they started to connect a little bit more after perhaps a troublesome relationship in 2016 with the controversy about his injury. But one way or another, Kyle Fuller came back in 2017, rejuvenated, playing the best football of his career, and now with 2017 in the books, he is a free agent to be with a potentially a decent market coming up for him. Before we go into Kyle Fuller's potential price tag this offseason, I want to make sure you're aware of another time we went back into the past here on Locked On Bears. Last week on February 16th, we went back to November 26th, 2015. You might remember that as Thanksgiving, the night the Chicago Bears upset the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field when the Packers retired Brett Favre's number 4 jersey and inducted him into their team Hall of Fame. It was halftime of that game when Favre and Bart Starr came out at Lambeau Field. The Bears were winning at halftime, and they held off Aaron Rodgers and company to spoil Brett Favre's big night in what was one of the few really memorable Bears wins of the John Fox era. We went back through that game in a documentary-style podcast last week on the February 16th episode, simply entitled Reliving Favre Night. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that episode, I highly recommend you do so. Go back when you're done with this episode on whatever podcast listening app you're using. Scroll back down again. Reliving Favre Night. It was February 16th was the date of the podcast. It's gotten some great reviews. I've gotten a lot of positive response from it. And I really think it's a great way to relive some of the glory of a recent Bears win in an era where that's just been hard to come by. I hope reliving Brett Favre Night can bring a little bit of joy into your day. I know it sure did for me. But even Kyle Fuller's 2017 season had some ups and downs to it. I mean, I think when we look back on it, a lot of people, you remember the best parts. You remember the positives, the big plays, the interceptions, the pass breakups, and that's all good. But there were some lows in 2017 as well. Started off, in my opinion, started off a little bit poor in the first 4 weeks, just like everybody else did. You know, even with as they were kind of going from Mike Glennon, you can maybe excuse some of that. But, you know, he started coming on strong when Mitchell Trubisky was in there. He had big games against the Ravens and the Panthers, I thought. But then kind of gets back mid-year, really struggled against the Packers in Week 10, and had missed a bunch of tackles and just was kind of thrown around a little bit by Devontae Adams and the Packers wide receivers. Then as the Bears start to get a little bit more confident, get some wins together, Fuller plays well against the 49ers and Bengals and Browns and all that, and kind of finishes out the season on a little bit of a high note. But that's not to overlook the struggles he had earlier in the season or to downplay the success he did have. It was just there were some up and down in his year, but certainly a lot more positive than negative. When it was all said and done, he was Pro Football Focus's 22nd highest graded cornerback in the NFL this season, a career high PFF grade for him. But more importantly, in terms of the pure numbers here, he was the most targeted cornerback in the NFL. Again, that's courtesy of Pro Football Focus, one of the companies I work for here, but he also had the most pass breakups in the NFL. Now, PFF, they define passes defensed as specifically plays in which the cornerback or any player gets his hands on the ball. And so, like, the official NFL stats on PDs are different than PFF PDs because we limit PDs to, again, only plays where the defensive back makes a play and physically touches the ball. So there are other plays when he might hit a defender or cut a defender off or box him out XYZ that the NFL stats might count as a quote-unquote PD, but unless he physically defensed the passes, PFF doesn't count as a PD. And so purely in plays in which the cornerback got his hands on the football but didn't intercept it, Kyle Fuller led all NFL players in PDs with 17. That being said, he also was tied for the most missed tackles of any player in the NFL, by far the most missed tackles of any cornerback. Kyle Fuller had 21 missed tackles last year. The cornerback with the second most missed tackles had 14. So Kyle Fuller had 7 more missed tackles than the next worst tackling cornerback. So he was, I don't want to say historically bad, but notably terrible at wrapping up and finishing tackles last year. But also, again, highly targeted cornerback, lots of pass breakups, just not wrapping up very well when there's a ball carrier lined up with him. And the other thing, too, to his credit, he was only flagged twice this year, and none of them were defensive pass interference or defensive holding. It was an offsides penalty. I believe it was the one that took back a blocked kick. And then there was also an illegal use of hands that he got flagged for. So he's playing a clean game in coverage, getting targeted a lot, making some pass breakups, but also failing to make those tackles. And so when you take that 2017 season and turn it here towards the free agent cornerback market, I mean, we're looking at higher-end cornerback deals tend to be in this, I guess, $10 to $15 million range. Maybe the top end is more $12 to $15 million. And then your sort of lower-end starting cornerback deals are in that $5 to $10 million range. You might remember Prince Amukamara was playing on a one-year $7 million deal, and sort of your second-level starting cornerbacks all right around that $10 million mark. So that's kind of the ranges of starting cornerbacks that you're seeing from a market standpoint. And so when you take a 26-year-old cornerback here in Kyle Fuller with really 1 year of high-quality production, his rookie year, he made a lot of plays, had 4 interceptions, but he was burned a lot in that year, I think more than people remember in coverage. Really, perhaps a average to below-average cornerback in total, but made some plays that got you excited about his future. And then he comes back in 2015, made a fewer plays on the ball and wasn't as explosive in that sense, but I think he was a little bit more consistent on the other plays in coverage and came out to me more like an average second-year corner that year. So then, of course, you miss 2016 and come back in 2017 and play like what I think is an above-average cornerback. Now you're kind of in an interesting spot here, which is why the franchise tag keeps coming back into the discussion. I feel like if you can get him in that lower contract range, I mean, you absolutely lock him up. If you can get him for, $7, $8 million a year, I think that's a deal I'd go out and do. But Kyle Fuller, by all indications, wants to test the market and wants to get paid, and more power to him. I mean, if you're an NFL athlete, you put your body on the line. Yeah, you should get as much money as you can. He wants to get those big bucks. So, I think I just don't see right now, based on what we know, I don't think the Bears are going to pay Kyle Fuller a long-term deal just quite yet. But, you look ahead to this cornerback market, and I think it's not barren. It's not loaded, but it's not totally empty. I mean, I think Kyle Fuller is a top five most notable player in free agency, I guess. It's hard to really know. Is he a top five cornerback in the free agency? I don't know. But given his age and his value and what he has shown the ability to do in the NFL, he's certainly one of the five most notable, perhaps biggest named cornerbacks in this free agent market. But the problem here for the Bears when they're trying to decide what to do with him is this franchise tag number. The franchise tag for cornerbacks this offseason is projected to be about $15.2 million. That ends up as fully guaranteed money after the franchise tag deadline passes, or after the negotiating deadline passes in June or whenever that is. So if the Bears franchise tagged Kyle Fuller, as of now, before any other free agents sign deals, that would make Fuller the highest paid cornerback in the NFL just in terms of per year average. I think right now the highest paid cornerback in terms of per year average is Josh Norman, and I think he gets exactly $15 million a year. So this would put Kyle Fuller just in terms of average, not counting guaranteed money and total cash paid out, and that's how they usually measure highest paid player, but in terms of average salary per year, that would make Kyle Fuller the highest paid cornerback in 2018. I don't know if that's something I am too crazy about. I mean, I know you franchise tag him with the effort to extend him on a long-term contract that's not going to cost you $15.2 million, but I think if they tag him, Kyle Fuller's going to want to play out the season on the franchise tag, like Alshon Jeffrey did in years past, get one more year and then force the Bears to eventually let you test the open market so you can get as much money as you want. Speaking of big money, the Chicago Cubs have made some big moves this offseason, and Locked On Cubs has been on top of it. Ryan Davis does a great job breaking it all down on the Locked On Cubs podcast, but they also have some great written articles on their website, LockedOnCubs.com. Don't forget about Locked On Bulls either, because the Locked On Podcast Network has all your Chicago sports needs covered. Sorry, White Sox fans, your time will come soon. So if you tag Fuller and he doesn't agree to work on a long-term extension and he plays out the year on the franchise tag, and, you know, best case in that scenario is he plays well again, right? I mean, that's what you want. That's why you franchise tag him, to see if he can play well again for a potential future contract. So he plays well again, and then he's set to be a free agent the next year. And then the Bears are once again set to either pay Kyle Fuller top cornerback money or let him walk. And so the question becomes for me, if Fuller plays next year on the tag at around the same level of production of cornerback play, because I don't know if he's just going to magically next year advance to being a top-level cornerback in the NFL. I would expect Kyle Fuller, if he stays healthy and continues to work the way he has, he'll play at a similar level. Maybe it's a little bit better, but it's not going to be Josh Norman of years past. It's not going to be at the top five cornerback in the NFL. I just don't think, from a physical standpoint and a skill standpoint, he's shown that capability and that high of a ceiling. So if Kyle Fuller comes back and plays at about the same quality, maybe even a little bit better, is that then worth making him one of the highest paid cornerbacks in the NFL? I mean, in my opinion, not really. You know, I think Kyle Fuller at this level is a top 20 cornerback in the NFL, but that's not top five. And maybe you plug him in top 10, like low top 10, but, you know, I feel more comfortable with Fuller in that 8 to 13, 15 type range, depending on the game and depending on, you know, over the course of a season. I think it kind of averages out a little bit lower. I mean, there are games when he plays like a top 10 cornerback, and there are games when he plays like a top 32 cornerback. And, you know, the truth and then the long-term value of Kyle Fuller kind of lies somewhere in between. So if he's in this 15 to 10 range, maybe in terms of cornerback quality, you look at the market value. Right now, 12 cornerbacks in the NFL average $10 million or more a year. And so that's the ceiling of where, personally, I think Kyle Fuller's value would be. And I think right now, if Kyle Fuller hits the free agent market, he's going to get probably at least $10 million this offseason. And if he comes back and plays well again, perhaps at about the same level that he did this year, I think he gets $12 million, $14 million, maybe even a little bit more if the market kind of continues to grow. And so, you know, I think this level of play of Kyle Fuller is worth about $10 million max per year. You know, right, putting him right in the 12-ish ranked highest paid cornerback in the NFL. He plays like the 12th-ish best cornerback. Pay him like the 12th-ish best cornerback. But on top of that, we don't know for sure that his play will continue to this high level next year. And so if it doesn't, then he's no longer a top 12 cornerback. I mean, I just think Kyle Fuller is very good, but he's not a true difference maker. And so I can't see myself as general manager paying him the way other top difference-making cornerbacks in the NFL get paid. You know, I think a lot of Fuller's best games this past year came against the poorest quarterbacks. You know, Andy Dalton, DeShone Kizer, Joe Flacco. Even when the Bears played the Panthers, Cam Newton was not playing quarterback at a super high level. It just seemed like when the quarterback play was down, Kyle Fuller's play was up, and it wasn't necessarily up when the Bears played other top-level quarterbacks. You know, didn't play particularly great against the Steelers or the Falcons. I know that was earlier in the year, and certainly no one played well against the Eagles, but you just haven't seen true difference-making play consistently from Kyle Fuller, and so that's why I can't quite pay him the way other more consistent difference-making cornerbacks in the NFL are paid. You know, I think the NFL has a lot of good, not great cornerbacks in the league. You know, I put Prince Amukamara right in that conversation. But if you're going to pay Kyle Fuller $12 million, you know, in the future here, that's maybe $3 to $5 million more than what cornerbacks like Prince Amukamara make. And is Kyle Fuller's level of play worth $3 to $5 million per year more than Prince Amukamara? I don't think so. I think that money saved from Kyle Fuller would be better off used at another position. You know, if you could get two starting a Prince Amukamara quality cornerbacks at that $7 to $8 million price range, instead of using an extra $3 to $5 million on Kyle Fuller, you could put that $3 to $5 million towards a better pass rusher or more defensive linemen, or rebuild your linebacking core even more, or get a better right tackle and more wide receivers, XYZ, you name it. I don't think the impact, the added impact that Kyle Fuller adds over a potential slightly lower tier starting cornerback is worth the millions of dollars difference that he can potentially command on the market because of his age, because of what he's done in the past, because of where he was drafted, XYZ. There are a lot of reasons to like Kyle Fuller, but I don't think those reasons are $3 to $5 million per year better than the next level of starting cornerback below him that's not going to have perhaps an inflated price range based on the value of play that you're going to get on the field. Now, don't get me wrong. If the Bears do franchise tag Fuller, I get it. You know, I don't think it's a terrible move. It's just not what I would do personally. You know, like for example, you might remember last year, some free agents turned down the Bears for less money. And, you know, the Bears had to opt for some slightly other names. And so if you're Ryan Pace and you're scared of that happening at the cornerback position this year, then yeah, I understand tagging Kyle Fuller. Or if you're sitting here thinking that you could get away with tagging Fuller and then trading him and getting some value that way, I think I'd do that too. But based on the risk of Kyle Fuller's past here, of 1 year of high-quality production and some question marks before that, you know, plus the value of what his play might be worth on the open market and the value of the cornerback position, not only financially, but within a defense where, you know, you have two starting cornerbacks, it makes one not as valuable when you need to have two of them both play at a high level. To me, he's just not worth the top dollar that he thinks he could get on the market and might very well be able to get on the open market. And it's just not worth it financially, in my opinion, for the Bears to go out and franchise tag Kyle Fuller. There are other lesser, cheaper free agent cornerbacks that still will get the job done and do enough for your defense at a much more reasonable price. And I think this NFL draft is going to have another pretty high-quality crop of cornerbacks to pick from. I mean, you even just look around at the top cornerbacks in the NFL right now. A lot of them are first, second, third-year players, very young, making immediate impacts on their team. You look at Marshon Lattimore, Tre'Davious White, Jalen Ramsey, even, you know, Marcus Peters and William Jackson III. These younger cornerbacks are making big impacts. If your team can find them, they're there in the draft to go get. So in free agency, go sign a mid-tier starter. Maybe you can get a younger one like Breshawn Breeland from Washington. And then, you know, bring back Prince Amukamara. I mean, he's a guy I've been high on all year. Quietly, I think, had a very strong season. And we're going to get a lot more into Prince Amukamara on tomorrow's podcast. I'll be joined by Ian Wharton. You might know him on Twitter, at NFL Film Study. And what he does, he charts cornerbacks for Bleacher Report's NFL 1000. He is Twitter's resident cornerback expert. And so I'll have him on to hit on all three of the Bears' cornerbacks. Plus, we'll touch on some of these top free agent targets and potential replacements who could fit in to take the shoes of Kyle Fuller if the Bears don't franchise tag him. So make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. Come back for that tomorrow. Also, follow Locked On Bears on Twitter and Facebook for a little bit of a sneak peek of my interview with Ian. You know, the night before these shows come out, I give you a little bit of early access to the next podcast on the social media pages. So go like and follow the Locked On Bears account. Don't miss out on any of that good stuff. Plus, next Monday, we'll be previewing the NFL Scouting Combine for our Mock Draft Monday episode of Locked On Bears. So if you're getting antsy for the NFL draft here, make sure you're coming back every Monday. We're bringing on draft analysts from around the sports media world, the Twitter world, you name it. I only stick to the guys that do their homework, that break down the film, and can come onto the podcast and help us understand this draft class from a number of different perspectives. So make sure you come back. It's yet another reason to subscribe to the Locked On Bears podcast. If you haven't already, what are you doing? You're listening. You're loving it. I hope you're loving it. I do this for you guys. It is a labor of love on Locked On Bears, and it is my pleasure to end every single episode asking you to bear down.